For today's discussion, we want to talk about how our deeds are gonna make us into hellfire, especially when we get to the categorization of different sins. We see that different people, based on their evil deeds, will go to hell, and this has been an authentic promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if you do good deeds, you will go to heaven, and if not, you will go to hellfire. Now, the case is that, how is it possible that a person for a sin, or like, for example, backbiting or telling a lie, or for example, some other small sins will go to hellfire? Is it just, and is it according to the adala or justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not?
Thank you very much. An important question as to how our sins play a role in shaping our destiny, our final destiny, right? And so we see that in numerous verses of the Holy Quran, in the riwayas, it has been told to us that there are various categories of sin, right? You have the greater sins and you have the lesser sins.
The minor and
the minor sins.
Yes.
Right? So, gunahane kabira masalan,
yes.
For example, the greater sins,
major
or the
sins.
Most important of them is shirk.
Yes.
For example, eating someone else's wealth.
Yes.
Right? You make use
usurping
of...
Usurping the other rights.
Usurping
right.
the...
Okay.
Or zulm, oppression
yes.
of others. Right? And so all of these are greater sins. And forgiveness for these sins is difficult. For example, in the verse of the Holy Quran, it says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all sins, but shirk or associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
So, but apart from that, all sins will be forgiven by God. So we see that this categorization of sins has been mentioned in the Holy Quran and in the riwayas.
Yes.
But again, with the minor sins, we have this concept that your insistence on minor sins
mm-hmm.
will not be, that is, it will be an element which is going to take you closer to hellfire or punishment
major.
From
That's
Allah
right.
subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
So we need to understand the philosophy of punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we need to find out what the philosophy of hellfire and heaven is,
mm-hmm.
and so, in a better way we can understand the idala
That's
or
right.
the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So in comparison to some sins that the other people did during the history of the world, can we again call it the idala of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go, I mean, to get the same people to the same heaven, to the same hellfire, or no? It would be different. I mean, there would be different levels in the hellfire for different people based on the caliber of their sins they did.
Of course. As we know that justice requires, justice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires that he, whenever judges a person, he judges on the basis of idala. That is, the resources that a person has, the knowledge that a person has, if he knows and identifies that this is the right way and this is the wrong way.
All right.
And he has complete guidance from the messengers of Allah. He has the ability to read the Holy Quran, but still goes on the wrong path.
That's
he
right.
is basically committing a sin knowingly. And with this knowledge, he is doing something that has not been approved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
So when we consider this person who is sinning, at the point that he is sinning, he is basically doing shirk as well. That is, he is not listening to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he is either following his own desires or the desire of Satan. And in this respect, he is performing a deed that can take him away potentially from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
And every sin that a person performs will be a step closer in the direction of Satan and a step away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we have this concept of khutuwat al-shaytan.
Yes.
In the Holy Quran, which says that mu'mineen are told not to follow the steps of the Satan, because the process of how the Satan traps human beings is that he takes them step by step towards yes. a greater sin.
That's
so
right.
every minor sin plays a role mm-hmm. in us getting away from Allah.
So the minor sins must be taken important into our account.
Yes.
Not to be neglectful of the minor sins, because as you said, step by step,
yes.
they will get us into the major sins. That's right.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Some people have done some grave sins during the history, for example, doing massacre, killing people. Nowadays, we can see that the people of Palestine and Lebanon are under the attacks and the bombardment of the, we can say, that's right, Israel and its allies. I mean, does it really differ? What sin do and you go to hellfire? I mean, a person might go to hellfire because of a small telling lie to his parents and at the same time doing a massacre and killing the innocent people. Are they the same? I mean, the chastisement will be the same?
In the Holy Quran, we have this beautiful verse which says that innal hasanat yuzhibna sayyat, that your good deeds will wipe away your bad deeds, right? And so when a person performs, a normal person, that is, he is not a very evil person, he will have good deeds as well as bad deeds.
Yes.
So the person who is performing both good deeds and minor sins, for example, maybe speaking falsely to sometimes,
yes.
not always, not permanently, but sometimes he is speaking falsely or not telling the right thing. So this means that he has some sins that he is performing in his life. And so this his good deeds will overcome his sins.
Yes.
This is the general principle that we should adhere to. And so therefore, we always need to be optimistic. Regarding those cases where a major sin has been performed by, for example, the oppressors of the world. For example, we have these rulers who are killing innocent people in Palestine or Gaza.
All right.
Netanyahu, for example.
Yes.
These people are killing en masse, right?
Yes.
Thousands of people have died, women, mm-hmm. children mutilated, their bodies burnt in the fire.
Yeah.
And they're not even showing mercy on hospitals,
yeah.
on ambulances,
on schools,
on kids playing
right.
In the school, or kids just walking. They are targeting them on purpose. And so these people, they're, of course, God's justice entails that their judgment is going to be very different from the normal person who has both sins in his life and both good deeds. But again,
all right.
we need to remember that even a small sin will be enough for the Satan to plant a seed in your heart,
mm-hmm.
right? And this hijab of the sin
all right.
is going to be implanted in your heart. And this is enough to take you closer to the mm-hmm. Satan and away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we, as mu'mineen, need to be very mindful of
yes.
smaller sins as well.
All right. Okay, Shaykh, for the second part, we want again to talk about the concept of sin and sinning. So is sinning is going to remove the positive effects of our good deeds or not?
Of course, as the previous verse shows, innal hasanat yuzhibna sayyat,
mm-hmm.
in the same manner, our performing bad deeds or sins is going to wipe out our good actions. For example, regarding ghaiba or riba, backbiting.
Yes, backbiting, that's right.
It has been said that once a person backbites against his brother, his Muslim brother,
fellow brother, yes, faith. That's right.
His good deeds will be written for the brother that he has backbitten, right? And so his good deeds will be given to his brother because of the sin that he has performed. Or, for example, it has been said that every salawat that you send on the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his progeny makes a castle for you in the life hereafter, in Jannah.
Right.
But as a result of your bad deeds, the angels are busy making it, but because of your bad deeds, they will stop building that castle for you. So you have this concept that you have to take your good deeds into the next world, and you have to safeguard them and prevent them from being destroyed in this world because of the sins that we have performed.
That's right. For sure, we are not masoom. The people are not infallible, immaculate people. Every day they will commit different types of sin, whether it's small or big. Are there any practical recommendations for us in Islam to stop ourselves from committing sins? Because as you said, this might, remove all the positive effects of our good deeds over a night, okay? And this is really sad news for some people who are busy, for example, with their obligations, doing salat or helping this and that. And at the end of the day, by a small sin, you know, all of them will be wiped out. Are there any practical recommendations for us in Islam?
True. It has been said that your constant devotion, right? Mm-hmm. For example, at the beginning of the day, you promise yourself that you are going to be following the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, preventing yourself from haram deeds, performing good deeds on this day. Every morning that a person wakes up, he has to do this muraqabah.
Yes.
That he'll be...
Self-accounting.
Yes, self-accounting that he will be conscious of the deeds that he is performing. He'll be conscious of his thoughts, his tongue, whatever he says about others or to others, or the promises that they make. So this is a concept of muraqabah. That is, when you wake up in the morning, you do this promise to yourself that you are going to adhere to certain principles of good and bad deeds. And at the end of the day, and it has been said that at midday, for example, after, for example, your Zuhr and Asr prayers, you analyze yourself that up until now, have I been true to my promise? That have I abstained from the bad deeds and performed the good deeds?
All right.
And every time that you perform a bad deed, you do istighfar. It's a very practical notion that has been given. After every prayer, after every sin that one commits, he has to do istighfar without wasting any time. And so at the end of the day as well, after your Isha prayer, for example, or before you go to sleep, you have to again recount the deeds that you have performed. If you have done good deeds, you thank Allah for the blessing that he has given you to perform the good deeds, and you do istighfar for the bad deeds that you performed on that day. So this is an entire practical way how our ulama used to conduct themselves.
That's right.
But again, we have this concept that God is Rahman and Rahim.
Yes.
So he guides his believers. If we are not openly distorting and treading on the wrong path, God will always guide us through the imam, through the through his messenger, through his salih al-ibad, that this is something that you are constantly performing incorrectly, right? And so a person needs to consciously remain on the right path, and God's guidance will come. God is a just God as well as a Rahman and a merciful God.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sheikh Ahmad Danish, for a nice elaboration regarding this concept, sinning, its effects, and whether sinning will remove the positive effects of our good deeds or not. That's very kind of you. Thank you very much, sir.